Amen. Thank you, Judy. I just want to call Joanne, who's visiting, to come and share a testimony of what God's been doing in her life. Some exciting things. I'm sure we know a lot of it, but we want to hear a bit of the detail, Joanne.
Well, it's good to be here. It's home away from my new home, which has really become my home. I went down to Knysna, for those that don't know me, a year and a couple of months ago, and I actually really didn't know why I was going, but I just knew I had to go. And I got there, and it was just amazing. Absolutely amazing. It was like, this is where I've got to be. It is just so good to know in your heart that, yes, I did hear God. And he's taken me on a very different journey to what I was doing here. And it's been amazing how people have I've just gotten to know people. And I am in an NCMI church, in Southern Gateway Church. I haven't gotten involved the way I'm involved here. It's been very different. The Lord has knitted my heart with some people in the church who are needy, and who the one lady runs a creche for 40 little black and colored children, and she has minimal income. And it's just been that I've been able to go in there and help in little ways. And the other big thing that happened to me is that I've always wanted to do photography. And he connected me with the lady that does my nails. We got talking one day, and through her, she also just had a heart to do photography. She found a lady that's in Sedgefield who is totally into New Age. And it's just been amazing how the Lord has just taken us in there. And Moira has just opened up my eyes to what a camera can do, and it's through the camera that I was blessed with end of last year, that I'm suddenly being able to connect with people, and through that I'm sharing the Lord. And it's very different, very, very different. And then out of the blue, I got married.
Hallelujah.
Out of being on my own for 19 years and thinking, no, it's never going to happen. That's strange, but I actually married my cousin. We just were such good friends. We were doing things together, and I don't know when it actually clicked for both of us, but it just happened. And he came home from golf one day, and he started talking about marriage. And I kind of looked at him. I had to pick up my jaw from the floor. And I said to him, are you asking me to marry you? And he said, you do want to get married, don't you? So I said, yes. And it all happened within a month after that. So, yes.
Wonderful.
We're very happy.
Father, we just thank you for what you've done in Joanne's life. Thank you. Life is a journey, but sometimes the path is not what we expect, but you always bring blessing, and we just continue to trust you for blessing upon Joanne and Alan, and Lord, may they continue to serve you and bring glory to your name. Thank you for the blessing that she is to us, and thank you for what you've done in her life, Lord, and continuing to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. How are you? It's been a busy morning, but we're going to have a busy time again now. Let's pray. Father, we come and approach your word. And Lord, we ask that you would speak so clearly to us today, that you would open up our understanding, open up our hearts to see you, and to see your kingdom. And I just pray, Lord, that you would speak through me today, Lord, to influence every one of us here, Lord, to see the capabilities of who you are in and through us. Through these simple words today, I pray the power of God would influence us and change us, Lord, to go forward now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach on the parable of the mustard seed and yeast from Luke chapter 13, from 18 to 21, if you get your Bibles out. But before we get into that, at the end of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28, verse 31, Paul gives a sort of a discourse to say what was he continuing to do. And he says, he boldly, without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say that is continued in Acts 29, which is not a book, but we continue today. We are seeing the Acts 29 outworking the kingdom of God and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to really bring here today, is that God wants to open up an aspect of his kingdom to us today that we haven't always understood and we don't always see from a worldly perspective, and the powerful, the power of the kingdom of God, and as we declare about the Lord Jesus Christ. But also then, I want you to keep in your heart as we go through this to remember in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one that's in the world." This aspect of what's in you, we need to understand. Christ, the hope of glory, who lives within you. And as I preach today, may you have that in the background and understand what is in you. Because this potential, the sitting inside of us who God is, which we don't always comprehend, may the Lord open up our eyes and understand what is happening. By start, I want to just say is the influence of the kingdom of God. I hope you've been watching the news and being aware of what's happening in our country and north of us in Zimbabwe. I want to say we rejoice what has taken place. The church has been praying for many, many years, and God has been faithful. And can a nation be born in a day? It was born in a day. And God worked in that nation. And there's, yes, we must still continue to pray into that country, because the church has been praying there and we've been praying. And the same for our nation. And I want to say, do not lose hope about this nation. God is still on the throne. Amen. He's still on the throne. And as we pray, he answers our prayers. So the theme is the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. And I'll ask you to get your Bibles out. And we read from Luke chapter 13, verse 18 to 21. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches." Again he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed it into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." Now this seems such a small portion of scripture, but I want to just say it is very powerful what the Lord brings out. It's very explosive. I want you to understand the aspect of the kingdom of God today, the power and the immense influence that the kingdom of God has. So firstly, Jesus' ministry on earth, if we look at by the numbers, he had an inner circle which was very small. He had 12 disciples. One of them was a traitor, so that was 11. We see through the scriptures that there were 70 that he sent out. So the total wasn't even more of 100 disciples that he had. Yes, he had many that he was influencing, but his total disciples were less than 100. But then after his resurrection, he met with over 500. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, you can turn to that. Jesus appeared to more than 500 brothers, and it doesn't include the woman. There was over 500. So the beginnings were very small. On the day of Pentecost, there were only 120 in the upper room. I know it was in Jerusalem. The others were maybe in Galilee, the 380 that were influenced. But Jesus here comes to demonstrate the kingdom of God. And when on his earthly ministry was to demonstrate this kingdom of God. It started small, but it grew into something enormous. Now the disciples, their understanding of the kingdom of God, and I think that's a perception that is in a lot of the church today, is that the kingdom of God is very external. And they were looking for a physical king. They were under Roman occupation, and they were looking for a king to remove this oppression of the Roman Empire. But Jesus said to Pilate at his trial, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so in Luke chapter 23, verse 3, so Pilate asked Jesus, Are you the king of the Jews? Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. The kingdom wasn't recognized. They didn't recognize King Jesus. He was on earth. They didn't recognize his sovereignty, that he was Almighty God. They didn't see him visibly as king. The Romans or the Jews didn't recognize him. Even a lot of those that are religious didn't recognize him. His disciples even were looking at him, didn't understand what was actually taking place. When their king was crucified, they had no future, they had no hope. This was a colossal disaster that took place. And they fled for their lives because their king had been killed. They had no hope. When they looked at this kingdom, they saw this is powerless. This is small, that is weak and obscure. It is despised. What is this kingdom? And yet Jesus comes and he says, what is the kingdom of God like? And I come to bring the revelation of what is this kingdom like? In Luke chapter 13, verse 8, 21, the kingdom of God is like, what shall I say and compare it? It's like a mustard seed. A man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches. The kingdom starts with small beginnings but has great endings. A tiny seed became a huge bush. The leaven, the yeast, started to pervade and leavened everything. Jesus says, don't be deceived about the power and the influence of the kingdom of God. We look 2,000 years now, this bush has grown. The yeast has permeated. The faith in this tiny seed has grown, and it, which was invisible, has permeated every part of life. The mustard seed, the external power of the kingdom of God. There's two aspects, the external power and the internal power. We look at the mustard seed that was grown in the garden where the birds came to nest in its branches. As we understand in the Middle East, what is the mustard seed? It grows into a bush. It grows about 2.5 meters high. It grows into a width about 4.5 meters. It's a big plant. It's actually a big shrub. It's not actually a tree. It's a big shrub. Matthew chapter 13, verse 32, though it is the smallest of the seed, yet when it grows, it is the largest in the garden plants and becomes a tree, so the birds of the air can come and perch in its branches. If we understand the Greek behind this, it's not talking about all seeds available, it's talking about agricultural seeds that were available at the time of Jesus. And we see under the Jewish proverbs, they always refer to a mustard seed as something that was small. And Jesus was using the language of the day when he referred to a mustard seed. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, he replied, because of you have so little faith, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here and go to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Jesus wasn't belittling them. He wasn't even saying that you are weak. He was saying, if you have small faith, if you would use it, it has a powerful effect. It can move mountains. It's not the smallness, it's the magnitude of what's in it. The magnitude of what's in it that will grow and will move mountains, and nothing is impossible. And I come and bring that hope to you today, is that what is in you is greater. What is in you is greater than he that's in the world. And the power of God and the kingdom of God is within you. And if we would take what's within us and express it through the words that God has given us, no mountain is greater that cannot be thrown into the sea. The impossible can be done. And God, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, lives within you, and you can express his word, and you can change not only your circumstances, you can change this nation and the nations of the earth through the power and the influence of what's within you. The incorruptible seed is within you, and we need to express it. This is the kingdom of God. It permeates, it breaks open, it expands, and it's explosive. But yet we do not see it. It is invisible. It takes faith to express this kingdom as you would open your mouth. And we see the result of it. It becomes a habitation. The birds of the air come and multiply. It brings fruitfulness. It brings life. And this kingdom that is within us brings multiplication and brings life and brings fruitfulness. It does not bring death. It does not bring death. I say again, it might start small, but it ends powerfully. The external growth of the kingdom, it starts small and the kingdom grows invisibly, but it grows into something so wonderful where Jesus becomes the king of his kingdom. In Luke chapter 17, verse 20 to 21, "Once I have been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. Jesus replied, 'The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you.'" The kingdom of God is within you. Man out there, natural man, cannot see the kingdom of God. Can I even say carnal Christians cannot even see the kingdom of God? But those who are spiritual, those who are trusting in Jesus, will see this kingdom and the power of what it is. Jesus is saying, in your midst, we have salvation, we have the redemption. It's not the outworking of armies and trumpets and loud music or palaces, but the small, tiny seed that is within you that begins to grow becomes powerful and all-pervading, and actually breaks open rocks and breaks open nations and breaks open the world. This is what's within you. Jesus, for 30 years, never left his family. He did not do any miracles. He did not teach a lesson. But the seed was hidden within him. We see an inkling, and when he was 12 years old, when he went to Jerusalem and he started to expose a little bit with what was inside of him. Then 3 years of ministry, he ministered into towns and villages, and sometimes he went to Jerusalem. He made few converts, and most of his converts were poor. They weren't the rich and the famous. He died and was killed on a cross at 33 years old. His seed that fell to the ground and died, and the resurrection power came and brought life. From this feeble nation under the arms of Imperial Rome, from Galilee and Judea and Nazareth, that was a despised town where they were uneducated and uncultured, from disciples who were small, who were seen as inadequate, unqualified, powerless, and often faithless, what did God do? What did God do? This incorruptible seed of the kingdom of God. Jesus and his disciples were despised, mocked, and laughed at. They didn't see a king in his kingdom, but yet this mustard seed that was planted within them grew from small beginnings to great endings. It became a huge shrub where the birds of the air nested. Where is the kingdom of God today? The second point of that. Jesus came from a very little nation, and after his resurrection, as we've read, he appeared to just more than 500 and then gathered 120 on the day of Pentecost. But today, Christianity is the largest religion in the world. It started small and obscure in the beginning. It started small. Over 300 years, it brought down the Roman Empire. 300 years. Yes, it takes faith and it takes patience, but brought down the Roman Empire. Greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. This power that we have of influence as Christians, we don't have to become a Christian nation, but we have Christians in influence that change a nation. So this power of the kingdom, I want to say to you today, is incredible. It's within us, and we must never doubt the power of God within. For greater is he that's within us, that's in the world. Now there's a picture of an acacia that's called a treetop from Inyanga in Zimbabwe. When we went, Nikki and I went to Zimbabwe many years ago, and we went to Inyanga, and I picked up a little seed. And because I love these trees, I saw them growing there. They grow massive. We took a seed and we went home, and I planted the seed. You had to put it in boiling water to germinate, and then I planted the seed, and it actually grew, and it grew little bit by little bit, and then it grew quite high, and the frost came and nearly took it out. And then we nurtured it, and eventually I planted it in my front garden. And that tree is, I don't know, 25 meters high. It's actually grown from that seed, little by little. And what's actually happened, the birds, the indigenous birds have come to that tree. all the grey lorries and that come and they sit in there and all the birds go and play and it brings food and the weavers are in it. And it's amazing that that's an analogy that Jesus actually used. And I want to say that little seed that's within you can grow into that. The world might not see it. The world might not see it, but you are God's powerhouse on earth. You and your influence, what God has put in within you, and as you would take your position in the kingdom of God, that is the influence that you can have. It might be in a school, it might be in the workplace, it might be at home, but your influence is great, is incredibly great. It is powerful and it is external. And the second part, then Jesus comes and says, the yeast, the internal power of the kingdom of God. And I read from Luke chapter 13 again, verse 20. What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Now Jesus lived in the time of Palestine where bread making was a reality and he would watch his mother make bread. The scripture points to a large amount of flour. It was about 23 kilograms of flour. It was enough to feed about 100 people. And it was made for the family and the extended family. But this was a work that was hidden. The women would do it behind the scenes, and the men would do the work in the fields. So they would do the sowing and the reaping, and here the women would make the bread. And what would they do? They would mix the amount of flour. But what they would do to make sure that the bread would rise, they would take sourdough from a prior batch of dough that had been fermented and would put it back into the dough. And they would leave it to ferment, and the whole amount of flour would start to swell up and bubble up and expand until it was at size, and then they could actually bake it. So that little bit of sourdough that they took was put into that, and that would go through and pervade the whole batch of 23 kgs of flour. And the same thing is when you buy the yeast now today and you make bread. I don't know if you do make bread. We've had as a family tradition, we go on holiday and we find a recipe to make bread and we get together as a family and we make a special bread. And it's just something special and we've seen how it actually gets to that point. I think I've told you the story and forgive me if I have told you, but the Reader's Digest used to have all these funny laugh things. And there was a lady that was actually trying to bake some bread. And she put the yeast in and put it in and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And she wanted to have this bread for her husband. And she said, oh, it's not working. So she didn't want to throw in the dustbin because maybe you'll see that she's wasting the dough, the flour. So she went outside and dug a hole and put the flour in there and dough and put it down and covered it up and no one would see it. So the next morning, her husband comes in and says, you know, there's some mushrooms growing outside. You know that? And the flower had expanded and grown. Isn't that incredible? This unseen yeast, the power that it has. And God wants us to have that yeast of the kingdom of God within us and enabled to permeate not only our lives, but the lives of those around us. I want to just say that this yeast, this inward influencing, it seemed like that influence of the kingdom of God had little impact upon the Jewish leaders and the nation of Israel at the time of Jesus. But when he died and there was death and there was resurrection, that leaven of Christ, the kingdom of God, started to permeate and change that whole nation. Slowly, but it just started to be, you cannot stop it. You cannot stop it. The devil cannot stop it. The outworking of this kingdom of God. And I want to just say to you, it's good to tell people that you're a Christian. Don't be an undercover agent, but be wary. Don't because you wear a cross, that is the influence. It's in you. I want to just say that's just more important. Wear a cross, please, and tell people that you belong to Christ. But the reality, what's within you, it's got to permeate. And it's your testimony of what's within you, of the righteousness of God, of Christ within you. This has the greatest power to reach out. So what are the truths of the kingdom? The power of the kingdom is extensive. The influence of the kingdom of God is extensive. The leaven is not bad in the kingdom of God. It's not evil. It's there to influence. It's to permeate. It's to saturate. It is to change. By example, we've been going into Rwanda and the Great Lakes area since 2007. And we had about 3 or 4 years ago, we had opportunity to go to one of the biggest churches in Rwanda. His father had died and was an apostle of the faith. And he's the leader of the church, his name is Paul Katwaza. And he came and he said to us, we gave our condolences. And he said to us, he says, thank you for coming to our nation. You do not know how you have influenced our region. And I said, yeah. He said, you do not know what your influence you've been. We've gone little bit by little bit and touched little bit by little bit. And seemingly we don't have an influence. We don't have a big church. We don't even planted a church there. But the influence, and he said, you do not know the influence that you have in this region. And that's how the kingdom of God actually grows, little by little. I remember the church plant here, when we planted a little seed, and it grew through faithfulness and patience, and God grew, and it's grown, and it's grown, and it's grown. And it cannot stop growing. I'll tell you now, this church cannot stop growing. If we are seeking Jesus and we trust in him, people are going to be added. People are going to be added, and people are going to be, sent out. That is the kingdom of God. It doesn't decrease, it increases if we serve in this wonderful king and whose kingdom lives within us. And then Jesus comes with a warning. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, false religion and doctrine and righteousness. Beware of it. In Luke chapter 12, verse 1. It says, meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak to his disciples, saying, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And I want to just say, there is the leaven of the evil one that comes as false doctrine, and we can be subjected to it. It does also permeate and influences and changes us, and we've got to be wise when we come, because a little seed of negativity can also come and can change and rob you of your inheritance. This great inheritance that you have within you, if that thinking comes in and untruth starts to come in, it will rob you of this inheritance that's within you that can pervade and can change not only your life, but the lives of those around you. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, then Jesus said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We've got to be careful not to be exposed to false teaching. I want to just say, be careful of what the world is coming with immorality and its legalism. When we leave Egypt, we leave Egypt. That's the world that's out there. We come back into the kingdom. I'm not saying to be a prude, not have influence, but leave the world behind. Do not be influenced by the yeast that comes from this world. Then the kingdom of God permeates. The kingdom permeates not by politics, not by laws, not by military power, not by the media, not by lobbying, not by forcing things. It's the hidden dough in society. It breaks through. The Holy Spirit takes that seed within you and permeates through his power and transforms lives and communities one at a time, one person at a time. This gospel, this power of God, the kingdom of God that's within us, works from the inside out and changes and influences those around us. Societies are transformed by this hidden influence of the kingdom of God. It is said that 95% of the world's population presently has part of the Bible or all the Bible in their language. We understand today that in communist China, that almost 100 million of its people are Christians. In Cuba, even though it's been under communism, there are still 50 Christian denominations that are still there. When we went to the Eastern DRC many years ago for the first time, the world had left. The world disowned the DRC. There was nothing there, but God hadn't disowned, and the church was flourishing. The church was flourishing. This is the seed that's within us. It is said that 65,000 people are giving their lives to Christ daily, that 1,500 new churches are planted every week. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 to 18, Simon Peter asked and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I want to say Christ is building his church. His kingdom is advancing. It is not retreating. It is going forward. And you are part of the kingdom, the advancing of his kingdom. Jesus is still the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and his kingdom is going out with power, not only externally, but internally, permeating our communities and our society, changing lives one by one. If you look at your life, how this kingdom of God has actually changed you, and you're still being changed from one degree of glory to the next. The world continues its way of destruction, But the kingdom of God brings the life of God. And I want to trust that every one of you, if you understand the simple truth, what's within you, the influence that you have, if you would take hold of this, and through the word of faith and through prayer and trusting your God, your influence is great. I don't care if you seem in your own eyes that you're just a speck of dust. I'm telling you, you are powerful, and Almighty God lives within you, and you can change your circumstances, not only yourself, but this living world that you live in. Folk, the message that's out there is that the gospel has been given a lot of people to influence and change you. No! The gospel has been given you to change others. To change others. And you just be the light of the world. And know that within you, and know when you walk into that room, the light of God is within you, and you're going to change people. Not because what you say, it's because who you are in Christ and who He is in you. He will change people. They will see you for who you are. And I just thank you, the Lord, for His influence and His greatness, what He's done in our lives. And I'd love to pray for you today. Let us pray, and let's trust God for His outworking of His kingdom. Father, we thank you again for the greatness of this kingdom of God. We just thank you for the thrill that it is to be part of what you're doing in this world. You've called us to you, and you've called us to influence this earth, Lord. You've asked us, Lord, to be used by, that you want to use us, and we ask, Lord, continue to use us, that your kingdom will advance powerfully through us. That, Lord, that we would be used, and this external influence of your kingdom and internal influence of your kingdom, Lord, will be so evident in all our lives. We might be small, but Lord, will you make sure that we grow and multiply to have a great influence? So use us in our workplaces. Use us where we find ourselves, Lord, that your kingdom may come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bless your holy name, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to break bread now. This is our Thanksgiving service as we come to the end of the year. And I want to just give time to say thank you to our Lord. And I wanted to say thank you to you. If it wasn't for you being part of this family, where would you be? And I'm telling you, you're a great family. Not only because you belong to God, because you are very dear, and God has called you into this place. And I want to just say thank you on behalf of Nikki and I and the elders, to every one of you. Thank you for all that you have done for the Lord and all that you've done for us. We're a great family, and we have a great future. And next Sunday, I'm going to be bringing what we perceive in, what God wants him to do. I'm calling it Vision Sunday, just to tell us what's ahead into 2018. I believe 2018 is going to be a great and fantastic year. Even though there's stuff out happening out there, God's doing stuff in our midst, and there's great advancement going to be taking place in our lives. But we're going to break bread now, and we're going to give thanks to our God, and we're going to break bread together. So I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And just remind us of what it is when we remind ourselves of this covenant that we've come into from verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Father, we thank you as you've encouraged us this morning. And we come to the Lord's table now, this place that is holy, the place that is sacred. And we come to remember this covenant that you brought us into, that you live within us, Lord, and we live in you. And we come, Lord, with thankfulness in our hearts. And Father, we look upon this year and we look back, even though we look forward, and we come with gratitude in our hearts and we bring praise. And we want us to say thank you for every one of our lives, for your faithfulness. Even the times, Lord, we've gone through difficult times, there's been suffering, there's been pain, there's been ups and downs, there's been good times, there's been bad times. But yet, Lord, you've been so faithful to us. You've overcome in our lives. You've shown us your faithfulness. You've shown us your grace, and you've shown us your mercy. And Lord, with hands lifted up to you, we want to just say thank you to you for your lordship over us. Lord, not only for your provision, but Lord, for the outworking of every aspect of your great love and your care for us. So at this time, Lord, as a family, as we gather before you in the name of Jesus, Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you are to us, and thank you for all that you've done for us. And we want to just say that we are so proud to be part of your kingdom, be your children, and that we can rejoice in you even today. And Lord, as we take hold of these elements, we remind ourselves, Lord, of this great salvation that we've received, that we are the redeemed, that our sins are forgiven, that the sins have been washed away, that we've been cleansed from all unrighteousness, and we belong to you. We belong to you. This is not our home. This is not our home. This is just our dwelling for now. But we are coming home to you. And Lord, we even pray here now, as we see a wicked world increasing, we pray that your righteousness would increase. And Lord, give us favor on this earth, that your kingdom will continue to advance powerfully in and through us. And even that, Lord, we pray, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come, because we await your imminent return. We await your imminent return. Whether it's 20 years' time, we don't know, but we know you're coming home soon to take us home to be with you. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, that we are here to represent you. Continue to increase our influence in our workplaces, where we find ourselves as a community, as a church. Lord, may we become a powerful instrument in your hand. This kingdom of God, Lord, may it permeate and saturate and bring great influence in and through us, Lord. So, Lord, as we come to the elements, we ask that you would bless them as we take hold of your bread. The bread is a symbol of your body broken for us, and the grape juice that symbolizes, Lord, your blood shed for us. We come with gratitude in our hearts, and we say thank you to you, Lord. If it wasn't for you, we are nothing. Apart from you, Lord, we can do nothing, and we praise you and glorify you now. So please come to the Lord's table, take off the elements, and ask you to hold them, and then we can share it together, and we will break bread and drink of the cup together. Amen. Can we move to the tables at the back and at the front here? Come and take hold. Has everyone got of the elements? Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat and rejoice in our Lord and what he's done for us, the finished work of the cross. And after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Remember your Lord and your Savior. Rejoice and be glad. He is Lord and Savior. Can I ask that maybe return to your seats and let's just give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to minister to us. This is such an important time. I don't want to rush through it. I know we've got family things to do, but I just want to give God, the Holy Spirit, an opportunity to minister to us, to encourage us as we give him opportunity. I know God always speaks, and he wants to speak to us. Lord, we want to just say to you this morning, we want to give you the microphone, even though you've been speaking right from the beginning this morning and speaking to everyone from our quiet times right through. Lord, as we come to focus and remember you, that's what we want to do. Our Lord and our Savior who was crucified for us, that in you we find life and eternal life, and our names are written with assurance in the Lamb's Book of Life. We belong to you. Lord, we want to ask, would you speak to us now by your Holy Spirit? Let just still our hearts, and it might be a prophetic word, it might be God bringing you a promise, it might be a scripture. Let's just wait upon him, our great King, who's worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The lover of our souls, who obeyed the Father and gave his all for us. This is your Lord, this is your Savior, the Holy One, the Lamb of God, the Alpha and the Omega. The Ancient of Days. His name is Jesus.
Waiting on the Lord, I just remembered the scripture when the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Are you not hungry?" And he said, "I've got food that you do not know about." And it's to do the work of the Father, to be obedient to everything that he says. And I just believe as we've partaken of the bread and the emblems, and I know it wasn't unleavened bread, but just symbolically, just allow that to be the word within you and allow Jesus just to be the yeast, to bring that word alive in you, which will just boldly and abundantly just come out of you. As we just allow Jesus to be the yeast in our lives, bringing the word alive in us and beyond us.
I've had this scripture on my heart since the beginning of the service, and it's when Mary and the women come to the tomb to bring in the spices that they prepared for Jesus, and they find the stone rolled away. And they all perplexed, and they thinking, "Well, what could have happened here? Where has our Lord gone?" Maybe somebody's here thinking, "Where is my Lord gone? You're not feeling him very close to you today." And two men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." And I think it's just a reminder for someone today that Jesus is not dead. He hasn't left you. He says that he comes to give us life and life in abundance. But you're not going to find that life among the dead. You're not going to find that life in the things that do not contain Jesus. You're only going to find the life that Jesus has for you when you seek out Jesus, the life giver himself. Amen.
Lord, we praise you. Thank you that you're building your church, which is us. Thank you that you have made us one with you. Thank you that you are Lord God Almighty. And we revere you and honor you in holiness. You're majestic in every way. You're a gracious, gracious God. And we join with the angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised." And Father, I ask that we get a glimpse of heaven even now in our hearts. Even though we live on earth, Lord, we belong in heaven. We are seated in Christ in heavenly places. And even as we are seated there now, Lord, in the throne room of grace, may our hearts perceive as we see you high and lifted up. Lord, we make much of you today. We make much of you. We remember you, Jesus. We want to run away and go and do our own thing, but Lord, we want to remember you. You are the Lord Almighty. You are the King of Kings. You are the Majestic One. No one in all creation compares with you, Jesus. No one. How great you are. How great you are. And Lord, we humble ourselves before you today. We put aside our confidences in self and arrogance and ignorance. And we look to you as the one that we trust. In our trust is in you, Lord Jesus. Our eyes are fixed upon you. We come back to you today. We maybe have wandered. We maybe have gone to the left and to the right, but we come back to you. And we center our lives again upon the majestic King who rules and reigns in our hearts. We set you apart in our hearts as Lord, not externally, but in our hearts. We set you apart as Lord. And we humble under your lordship. We humble ourselves under your lordship. Great and almighty King. Great and almighty King. I just sense as the Lord wants to minister to us today, the scripture from 1 John 1 verse 7 said, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." And I just sense the Lord wants his blood to do work here today. The blood of Jesus wants to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you are dealing with habitual things, things of the flesh, things that are ensnaring you, things of the eye, you're looking at things and it's holding you captive. You're doing things with your hands and it's holding you captive. This is the day that God wants to set you free, because the blood of Jesus wants to demonstrate its power here today. And if you find yourself in that place today that you're dealing in, this is not a place of condemnation. This is a place of liberation. Liberty and freedom in Christ. And if you find that you've never been set free and been delivered, God wants to set you free today. And if you have habits in your life today that you've been secretly hiding away, I don't want to know what they are. No one wants to know about it. But if you want to be set free today, I'm asking you to get out of your chair and come and stand in the front, and we're going to pray a declaration. The blood of Jesus will set you free. Is there anyone here today? You're dealing with stuff. It's from depression to anxiety to smoking to pornography to whatever is holding you captive. You know what it is. The Holy Spirit has revealed it, but this is the day of your deliverance. Don't hide. Come. Come. Come to the front, because we want to pray for you. Is there anyone here today? Anyone else? I just sense it's not just one person. There are many of us that are ensnared. We walk in liberty, but we need to walk in freedom. Anyone else? Anyone else? God wants to set you free. Who has problems with smoking here? Because I just sense smoking is one of them. Where's Louis? Come, Louis. Come, Stanis, Osablif. Come, Stanis, Osablif. God wants to help you. This is not condemnation. This is freedom and liberty. This is not condemnation. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Just Connie's confirmed the word that Ivan have. You seeking deliverance. This is deliverance time. God wants to set you free. God wants to set you free. You know who you are. This is not condemnation. Amen. Can we just ask the elders and the leaders just to stand around, and we're going to pray a prayer of faith over these men and women now. And I want us to participate within this too. Every one of us, we extend our hands. And let's just believe, because this is God in action. And what we pray today, we're going to break authorities in the power of God. Let's lay hands. Let's lay hands. I want everyone to have hands laid upon them. Can we have someone laying hands on Trevor? Lord, under your instruction and the authority of your word, your blood has authority, Lord. And Lord, we just take now that authority of the blood of Jesus and release it over every one of these beautiful people. And we break that authority now in Jesus. And whatever's ensnaring, we break your authority over you now. And we tell you now, be gone in Jesus' name. This invisible kingdom becomes an external outworking now. That authority of the blood of Jesus. We declare victory now. We declare overcoming now. We declare deliverance now in Jesus' name. The power of smoking and nicotine, we tell you, have no authority now in Jesus' name. Whatever is holding you ensnared now, we break that authority now in Jesus' name. I'm telling you now, there's people out there dealing with pornography. I tell you, I break that authority of pornography now in the name of Jesus. You loose these men now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask you to restore marriages, to restore relationships now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I put a hedge of protection around every man over his eyes, Lord, that he will not fall foul to the internet and to pornography. And Lord, if they have, I know they are forgiven through the blood of Jesus. There's no condemnation. But restore them back to wholeness now, Lord. Restore them back to wholeness now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Nikki is just sensing if there's issues with alcohol, abuse of alcohol. It might be in your lineage. Lord, we just take authority over alcoholism in this family now. We break that authority in Jesus' name through the blood of Jesus. We break that now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Craig is just sensing the worship team, we need to lead us in a worship song, and we're going to worship God, because in as we worship God, there's going to be chains are going to fall off. As we lift our hands and we open up our hearts, we've prayed, we've believed, but let's just worship God, and let's see the power of God come. Prescription drugs, if you're on prescription drugs and you can't break free from prescription drugs, let's worship God and those chains are going to be broken over you. Come, if you want to come forward and stand and worship God in the front here, but even in your seats, raise your hands. Let's stand and let's worship the Lord with a song magnifying him that we can all sing together. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Don't run away if you haven't felt that you're set free yet. Let's just continue to pray. Let's worship our King.
This is amazing grace.
don't know. I just sense in my heart. Sorry. I just sense in my heart. Any families here that have been influenced through Freemasonry, God wants to break that authority of that blood oath that was taken over those people inadvertently. They don't know what they walked into. I don't know if it's you or whatever, but I know my family's been influenced by that. My dad did it in ignorance. And God has delivered him and delivered our family. But if you found that in your family that is a bloodline of Freemasonry, we need to take authority over that thing. And Father, I just take just an authority now where Freemasonry has pervaded. Not because of the men, but because of that oath. And we cancel that oath, that blood oath that has come through the lineage through Freemasonry now. We cancel the rights of that now. We break the authority of that now in the name of Jesus. And we liberate these families now in Jesus' name, that the kingdom of God can rule and reign in their families now in Jesus' name. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for liberty, Lord. Thank you for setting everyone here free, Lord. Thank you that they walk in their freedom now, confessing your name and praising your name, Lord, walking in the freedom. We have prayed, we have believed, and we thank you for this now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's finish with that song. Amen.
Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy are you, King, who conquered your grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, oh, this is amazing grace. This is a failing love. You would take my place, you would bear my cross, you laid down your life that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Yeah, Lord, we praise you and glorify you. You're our King and our Savior. You're the Lord of all. And we praise you for what you've done here today. We give you all the glory and the praise. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the might of your kingdom, the authority of your name, and the authority of your blood. We thank you, Jesus. We glorify you now. Amen. God's people said, amen. Don't run away. There's a free cappuccino and we brine outside together. We're going to have a wonderful family time. God is in our midst even as we fellowship. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, everyone. God bless you all.